If you like betting on golf, but everyone that you back misses the cut, get some experts involved with all the stats and the tips and so much more. 'Cause it's the golf betting system. The golf betting system is the golf betting system podcast.
Greetings and welcome to the Golf Betting System podcast. It's episode 370. This is our 2025 Open the France Tips podcast. Barry O'Hanrahan and Paul Williams join me, Steve Bamford, to discuss this week's DP World Tour action. Good morning, gents.
Good morning, guys.
Morning, guys.
This podcast is for listeners of 18 and above. Please be gamble aware. You can visit gambleaware.org for more information. And of course, please bet responsibly. Visit our world famous golf betting system website, where we have an in-depth betting preview for the Open de France. Paul has been in the stats lab pulling together this week's data. We have detailed form, event and combi sheets, plus new and old predictor models for the French event. All of our content is available completely free of charge. There is no paywall or registration required. On X, you can follow Barry at A Good Talk Golf. Paul is at Golf Betting. I am at Bamford Golf. On Blue Sky, search for Steve Bamford and Paul Williams. Subscribe to the Steve Bamford Golf YouTube channel, where this podcast is available each and every week. Now, you guys as listeners power this podcast, so we need your 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts. As ever, for those of you who leave a review, I will read them out at the start of a future show. Leave your name and where you are in the review. We got one, guys. We got a review.
Yeah.
Because this was going to be a rather bore segment.
Yeah, we were running low.
Even better, it's quite a good review. Entitled, Highly Entertaining, 5 stars. Hi, from Melbourne, Australia, mate. Love listening to you guys each week and getting the lowdown on the upcoming tournaments. Keep up the great work, exclamation mark. And that is from Clint, AU28. And of course, he's in Melbourne, Australia. Good day, Clint.
Brilliant. Thanks, Clint.
Cheers, Clint. I think that Steve loved that because he got an opportunity to do a bad accent.
Oh, absolutely. If you are in Australia, please keep sending these 5-star reviews in, because g'day, mate. I love it.
Please accept Steve's apologies for his accent as well.
It's a ripper. Ripper, mate.
Recorded all of these over the years and just done a super cut of Steve's accents. But there's a good use for AI. Get it to dig into all the episodes and just get all the clips of Steve butchering accents.
Oh, mate. I reckon that'd be our best, most popular podcast ever.
For sure.
Matsy Hammer. Oh, dear. By the way, listeners, we're now out of reviews. The well is dry, so please keep them coming. Now, to be fair, let's be frank. It'd be great for your review to be read out at the start of next week's Ryder Cup podcast. So, if you're in Australia, get them in. If you're in America, we haven't had any from America for a while. So spend a few, even 30 seconds just sending a review. They just, they just keep telling Apple that we're a popular podcast. So they're very, very important. But we would appreciate some reviews. Right. Let's talk last week. Paul, you got a winner. Alex Noren wins the BMW PGA Championship at 35-1. Well done. Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, really, really pleasing result, I must say. Sundays don't always go your way in this game, as we know, but it was great to get Noren over the line eventually. Heart in the mouth stuff on that playoff hole, but that little bit of class showed in the end. You've got to give Adrien Sadier his dues, and given how he's finished events over the last few weeks, either from 36 or 54 hole leader, he put an incredible effort in to take it to extra time, and look really strong. But I think Noren just had that little bit extra at the end, and lovely little chip up on the 18th, or the playoff hole to win. And yeah, second PGA title for him now. That's you know, he's a very decorated player when you look back at all of his events and all the titles that he's won over the years. No Ryder Cup distractions last week, which I think was probably just, you know, one of the more important factors for him. I said in the pod last week that he felt like this year's Ryan Fox in that respect from a couple of years back, and so it proved. Of course, he's going off on that recce with the boys as a vice captain, isn't he? So he's involved in some capacity, but certainly not as a player. Interesting. I know there were conversations about, oh, you know, we should have taken Alex Noren as the most informed player. I don't think you could have predicted that 4 or 5 weeks ago, but yeah, certainly. Should there be an injury, should there be an illness, then you've got a very capable substitute standing there with a set of clubs and a couple of wins to his name.
If there is, it'll be very suspicious. Everyone be like, Alex, we need to check your room. Do you have any substances? That's a great shout, Paul. Like, and for him to do like the two wins in 3 weeks, you don't kind of expect it from, like, he's a super player. Do you only expect those like close wins from the super, super elites? And, you know, he's thrown himself into a pretty serious category now. He's, you know, two BMW PGAs. Does that make him the Swede with the most wins on the European Tour now?
Yeah, they mentioned it in commentary. So, yeah, he's the most decorated Swede, which is, you know, huge for him, isn't it? It's, you know, testament to the career that he's had. And, well, given that he's won twice, as you say, in the space of a few weeks, that's, you know, the career that he continues to have as a kind of early 40-year-old player. And, in, you know, fit and healthy, which for him bodes well, I suspect.
Jumps to number 3 now in the PGA qualification top 10 for the DP World Tour. Bearing in mind, and we did mention this last week, Noren's outside the top 100 in the current PGA Tour standings. So he will go to the States and play some full series events to make sure he qualifies that way, which I would assume would have... Oh, now we're getting into it, chaps, aren't we? If you finish top 100, you've clearly got a higher category than if you came in via the DP World Tour top 10.
Yes, that should take precedence, I'm sure. The top 100, which would then, of course, would free up his place in the race to Dubai for someone else to take that spot. So there are some complexities of how and what Alex Noren does over the next few weeks for the rest of the tour. So, but yes, that gives him two bites of the cherry. So one way or the other, he'll be playing PGA Tour golf next year, you'd imagine.
That's right. So the likes of Keita Nakajima, Daniel Brown, Sean Norris and Daniel Hillier and Joachim Lagergren would be sitting there. Please, Alex, get into that top 100. Because we've got an extra place to fight for.
Yeah, it gives the boys an extra place to aim for over the next few weeks.
There were some big names at the top of that leaderboard all week, weren't there? Ludvig Åberg, Victor Hovland, 36-hole leader, Hideki Matsuyama, Justin Rose, and they just all fell away.
Yeah.
It was a bit strange. Saturday seemed to take a lot of prisoners. There was some bad weather around, wasn't there? It was gusty, it was wet.
And they just one course, though.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great course for that, because if you're a little bit off, it can just chew you up again. But there's the opportunities there to go low. You can see a big spread of scores on Saturday. Big spread of scores.
Huge. My man Rose shot 76.
Yeah. Well, this is
great, great tournament, great course.
It asks a lot of questions, and, you know, a player who's coming into the 12th hole, maybe level par or one over, will still think, well, look, I've got opportunities here. I could
shoot five under.
Yeah. I could finish this round really nicely and still be in a really strong position. Noren on Saturday finished birdie eagle, and that ultimately pushed him into a tie for the lead, meant he was going out alongside Sadie for the final round and set him up for that win effectively. Had he not made eagle in the last, but had he not produced that kind of four under burst, then he would have been a little bit further back. He'd have been in the kind of Hovland territory where you've got to go out and try and push and really make a score around there, which you can come unstuck. It's it's as close as we get to an Augusta National, but this side of the Atlantic.
Yeah, good way of putting it. It offers the opportunities to go at it, but if you push and get it wrong, you'll get eaten up, and you'll have a double or a run of bogeys, and next thing you know, you're slipping away. Yeah. It was what makes it a great and exciting tournament. It never seems to fail to deliver something intriguing and interesting year on year.
Yeah. And it's been really consistent as well in terms of winning total. So that was 19 under. And we kind of touched on this when we talked it through last week, where, you know, somewhere between 17 and 20 has been the mark for a number of consecutive years now. So players in their mind will know how to manage what they need to do to get to that level, because there are opportunities out there. Fourth is a gimme birdie if you hit the fairway. 12th is a birdie opportunity. 17, 18... Well, if you're not birding at least one of them, then you're feeling a little disappointed, I think.
It's one of those rare tests, you know, in world golf where driving distance is probably a negative. You just listen to this going all the way back to 17 when Alex Noren won his first title. Noren, Francesco, well, Frankie's hardly long, is he? Danny Willett, yep. Short, mid-range at best. Tyrrell Hatton get it out there, but he's hardly a bomber. Billy Horschel, first time. Shane Lowry. Ryan Fox, yeah, bomber when he... Well, he's just a long hitter, isn't he? He's probably the abnormality there. But Fox, of course, can club down. Billy Ho last year. You look at Alex Noren this year on the PGA Tour. I think he's in like the bottom three or four driving distance on the whole PGA Tour. It's literally a plotter's golf course, ultimately. Must remember this next year.
Yeah, we've got hit greens. You've got to scramble well. I mean, he's scrambled really well all week. His short game was great. There was, which hole was it? 14th, was it the par 3? Where he had a plugged lie in the bunker and it wasn't the par 3, was it? The plugged lie in the bunker and got up and down. That was a fantastic save there. And, of course, the little chip on the playoff hole as well was excellent. So you've got to have a short game, you've got to hit greens. He's putting as well, you know, passing the eye test in terms of the putter. Noren was putting fantastic, so it's a good all-round test, I think.
Question: if the picks for the European Ryder Cup team were, let's say, tomorrow, do you think Noren would be chosen ahead of any of the six picks that have just been made?
It's a difficult one because having someone coming in with really strong current form isn't a bad position to be in, isn't a bad addition to the team. As to who would displace, you'd think it'd have to be Matt Fitz.
Yeah, but he's probably in the best nick of all of our picks.
He's in great shape. He'd probably, if you asked Donald real honesty, he'd probably want to swap him out for Højgaard. But he qualified automatically.
Yeah.
Put like all, yeah, like his massive effort was to, in that last tournament, to just make sure he got qualified.
Yeah.
And Fitzpatrick,
a little bit worrying.
We're jumping slightly here, but Fitzpatrick's in my top five strokes gained current form when I've done my analysis yesterday. He's the only European in the top five, by the way.
Yeah.
Though how could you drop Fitzpatrick? He's in the best nick of the lot.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah,
it's a difficult question, isn't it?
It is. Yeah,
it's the one player. You've hit the nail on the head. The player that's actually playing the worst and was an auto is Rasmus Højgaard. There are weaknesses with both teams. That's undoubtedly. I mean, it's always going to be the same, isn't it?
Always irrespective of Noren not being on the team, him being there in the team room, I think, is a great thing. It's like, guy's got good energy, huge experience. Like, that'll be that's a huge positive for us.
Yep, definitely. He's playing part of the, it'll be part of the mix, part of the team, part of the wider team, which is, you know, part, all Luke Donald's plan and strategy.
I enjoyed my Friday there. I must say, I think it was the best run Wentworth I've ever been to. You know me, I like to pick holes, but it was 10 out of 10. Very, very well organised. And even the beer queues were quite short. I mean, that's the only reason I'm calling it.
That's 100% the basis for your review, isn't it?
You know, they had bars there with four people serving. I mean, I thought that was fantastic.
And from 10 a.m., Steve, I heard.
And from 10 a.m., yeah. I got there and it was about 8:35, maybe 8:45, and there was one guy, he went way too early, went straight for the bar by the first tee, and I knew he was going to get rejected, so he goes over there. And you can see the lady in there shakes her head. So I walked straight over to him and said, "What time do they open, mate?" He went, 10 o'clock. I went, "Bonus." So there we go. You know then, don't you? You can watch an hour's golf. And then you can have your first beer.
Mm. Yeah, just have a wander around, find yourself in a strategic position for 5 to 10.
It's a very nice place to spend a day.
Mm. 13th fairway was my first, even better, first location.
Well, it's not raining.
Oh, yes. Fairway. But you know, you don't seem to get that anymore. But yes, I thoroughly enjoyed the BMW PGA. I did bump into Neil Fay. It was great to spend an hour with Neil. So, regards to Neil. I'm sure I'll see him there in 2026. Right. Over in the States. Oh, my God. It's unbelievable, chaps, isn't it? Scotty Scheffler wins the Pro Tour Championship at 9-4. Mm. What were we saying just before we came on, Barry? He's now won, was it six?
Six, I read, yeah. Six times this year. It's amazing, isn't it? We're like, he's so Scotty that we're just not even talking about this like if we should be. It's astonishing season, and we're kind of nonplussed by it.
Mm. Yeah. Just, I don't know. Eventually, you feel like there's a bit of fatigue where everyone else is just playing for second place, even when he's behind after a round or two. Or even three, you kind of thinking, well, Scotty's still going to win this. Scotty was the favourite going into the final round, even though he was off the lead. And, of course, he converts.
I wonder whether... I used to have... like I never loved Tiger when he was in his pomp. And I think it was because of the inevitability. Mm. I was always able to admire him. Probably a more interesting personality than Scotty's back in the day, and it's really hard to kind of connect me, whatever, 20 years apart, or maybe a bit more. But maybe it's something to do with that. That's why I didn't completely love Tiger back then, because it was just the tournament was over, because he knew he was just there and doing it. And if he wasn't, he was still causing chaos around him because he was there and everybody was falling apart anyway, and somebody just happened to get over the line.
Mm. Yeah.
Maybe it's a bit of that. And it's kind of sad that you can't absolutely be blown away by it and you're like, oh my God, this is the most amazing thing ever, because I guess the excitement's ruined. Somebody's told you the ending of the movie when you go to sit down with your bucket of popcorn.
Yeah. Seen this one before.
You know, I always bring out these statistics because I wrote this at the BMW. I said, Scheffler has won 12 of his last 33 starts. Now, of course, he went on to win the BMW. So that's 13 of 34. Didn't win the Tour Championship. 13 of 35. And then he wins the Pro Tour. 14 of 36. I make that 39% win rate.
Yeah. And that justifies a price of 9-4. I mean,
Don't forget, he also has finished second or third in a further five of those 36. Mm. So that's taking you. He's in contention for a win or finishing in the top three in 50% of his starts over his last 36.
That's just madness. Think about this as well. He was coming back from injury after the the hand was sliced open by the wine glass, so you could probably write off five or six or four or five of those. So yeah, he's getting closer to a 45% or high 40s percent win rate.
Wasn't it ravioli gate?
It's not a gate. It was just
just a kitchen.
It's just a cheap wine glass, Steve. But yeah, it's truly astonishing, he'd
be winning at a far higher rate, you know, because clearly he started 2025 on the slow.
Mm. Yeah.
Finished in the top 10 on his first outing with the slowest hand.
Bit slow, yeah.
Bit slow. It's madness, champs, isn't it?
Mm.
I would like to point out, over and above Scottie Scheffler's ridiculousness, and I'm saying that in the best possible way, basically it's just his level of excellence is just incredible. Jackson Koivun. Now, we did mention him last week. He's making history. He became the first amateur with three straight top tens on the PGA Tour since Hall of Famer Ken Venturi in 1956.
Mm, impressive.
I don't think we've ever had a penny on him.
Big future, the lad, isn't he?
It's
what do you reckon? Sanderson Farms, 12-1 favourite?
It's going to be some short prices. What was he going to last week? Fifth, I think it was a little bit of 60s early doors, but yeah, he's going to be down into the
that'll be gone
short bracket.
It's this. He's too prominent now. The bookies are too sharp. They're too quick these days. It's silly, annoying bookies. Mm. But it's why haven't we backed him? Is it because we're expecting him to follow the standard for, or what should be, we feel should be a standard for an amateur, and you know, not be this consistent when he goes on to tour?
I just don't like.
That's what I think.
I just don't like picking people that win. That's my problem. I mean, we did say last week, Jackson Koivun. I kept going on about Jackson Koivun, even though I hadn't selected him, because he was third in my strokes gained current form statistics.
Mm. He was second.
He was second behind Scottie Scheffler. And you could have grabbed him at 60 to 1 and covered your week, but why would you do that? Best thing I can do is put up Matt McCarty at 70 to 1, who's been in the top 10 for 54 holes and then shoots four over. Thanks, Matt.
It was a tougher ask last week, I think, given the players he was up against with the bulk of Team USA there.
Mm-hmm.
For him to still produce that kind of performance over the 4 days and still feature heavily. I think that's a measure of the kind of talent that we've got on our hands. So, yeah, fascinated to see what he does over the full series and then into next season, of course.
And he had a pretty a pretty chill round on Sunday with a 71 when there were lower scores available. Mm. So, well, imagine when he starts figuring that out.
What's his end game? Why is he playing all these PGA Tour events as an amateur?
Experience. Because you can. If you're 20 years old and somebody tells you you can go play a PGA Tour event, are you saying no? Like, absolutely not.
Yeah. Yeah. Financially, I guess he's of the opinion that he's going to make his money further down the line. So,
yeah. It builds his profile a bit, gives, you know, and that's probably not even in this consideration. He's just thinking, this is experience for me, and I'll be a bit more ready to hit the ground running when I, you know, do declare to go pro, and off we go.
Yeah, because it can't be financial, because what will he have foregone over the last few events by not having been
a million or whatever? Let's say call it a million, but plus. he'll make that back in endorsements and arguably even better, because he'll be more ready to go out there and perform at a higher level and go grab wins earlier than he might have.
Mm.
You know, so it's just, he's got massive potential. He's scary good. Yeah. And it's annoying because he's got that kind of surname that you're thinking, oh, is he from Finland? Can we have him for the Ryder Cup? And it's like, no, he's American. It's like, damn it.
Mm. Yeah.
He has got a full card through this PGA Tour University program, but he's still remaining amateur. It's crazy, really. But yeah, see, I suppose this is the Luke Clanton model, isn't it, from last year? But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if we see Mr. Koivun as the favourite for the Sanderson Farms the week after the Ryder Cup.
That'd be mad, wouldn't it?
Let's put it that way. I was there or thereabouts last week. I mean, I had McCarty, he was there, and he let me down. And it was frustrating slightly. I had Burns and Bhatia. Over the weekend, Burns was T2 for scoring and Bhatia was T4. So, but they started appallingly. So we move on. Right, let's talk a little bit of Ryder Cup. I have pulled together my strokes gain numbers for the Ryder Cup. I just thought I'd get it out there because it does tell a story. And yes, I maybe last week I over-egged it when I said that the Europeans are in better form, because the statistics would suggest that it's a very, very close contest. Right. So I've done my usual eight-week analysis looking at finishing positions and the like, and who are the players that are in form and who are the players that aren't. Of course, there's 24 selections. Three of them play for LIV, so they're out of it. I think if you look at Bryson DeChambeau's form on LIV recently, he hasn't been the best. But you can't include it anyway. John Rahm, Hatton, not in it. So, of the PGA Tour players, 21 of them, four of the top five are from the United States. Scheffler, amazingly. Cam Young, not much of a shock, isn't it? Won the Wyndham, had a great playoffs. Ben Griffin. Did you feel for Ben on that final green? At the Pro Call? Or was that just the inevitable pressure that I'm about to get beaten by Scotty Scheffler?
Yeah. I think so.
Inevitability. Mm. Matt Fitzpatrick is four. Russell Henley is five. So, okay. So the Americans are in better form. But then take the top 10. There's five Americans and five Europeans. And then let's look at the bottom 10. Yet again, five Europeans, five Americans. It's literally on a knife edge when you look at it from just current form perspective. And I just thought it was interesting. If you look at the bottom 10 and who are in there, I think you've got three big American names in there. Morikawa, Xander, and Justin Thomas. And just looking at previous Ryder Cups, especially 21 Whistling Straits, DJ, of course, top scored for Team America, just the 5 points from five matches. Cantlay and Morikawa were on 3.5 points, and Xander was on 3. So you've got two of the bottom 10 there in the form rankings for America that brought home 6.5 points at Whistling Straits in 21. So I think there's an opportunity there with some of the bigger names clearly not playing as well as they would be expected to be heading into the Ryder Cup. Just to balance that out, you've got McIntyre in the bottom five, Højgaard in the bottom five, and Lowry with Morikawa and Justin Thomas. I think it's quite level. It's quite even when you look at it through. Potentially slightly advantageous to the Americans, but there's not a lot in it.
No, there's not a lot in it. And, you know, from a European perspective, going out there, you know, it potentially brings the draw into the equation. And going out there and, you know, anything from a draw and above means that we retain the Ryder Cup. So
the draw has been shortening.
I can see why. It's in a world where the prices are starting to converge, it does bring the draw into the equation. Be nice if it was tight. It'd be nice if it was exciting right to the bitter end.
Give us all regardless of result, even. You just it is a show. You want it to be exciting.
Yeah.
It was interesting to hear Rory talking about the fact that now they're now using these virtual reality hardware to try and replicate the noise of what they're going to get from the New Yorkers at Bethpage. Also, Barry, I don't know if you watched this, and this is just a general point to all listeners. I did tweet this out. The video that's gone out there about Bethpage and how the course is looked after and set up is very, very good viewing. That's another fried egg promotion. So well done to the fried.
They're so good at those.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
They really are.
Yeah, but it looks an absolute beauty of a golf course, but it's how can you soften that golf course up as well? I'm sure that there will be minimal rough, get that, but it's a brute of a golf course.
Yeah,
it felt like watching that fried egg video. It felt like the course is being set up in a very, I don't know. A very fair way for both teams. Like, it wasn't like super hard set up or swung towards the American team, like with like just devastatingly thick rough. You know, it feels a bit more neutral. I don't know if that's the way I took it on the night or when I watched it. But yeah. Anyway, it everything felt like it was, this is a good setup, and we'll have a very interesting golf matches to watch, and the course will be good, but it's not trying to be the star of the show.
Yeah, it should offer some risk reward, and you know, it shouldn't be set up like a US Open and US Open Tough. It should be, because they played it in the one of the playoffs, didn't they, a few years ago, and it was a little bit softer then. We'll see. It should offer risk reward. It should be a fair test for all the players, I'd imagine.
Chances of loads of chances of birdies, but also you know, you can just blow up and have doubles. You know? So because that's you know, it doesn't matter. It's match play. So and that's what you well, let's hope that's what we see next week.
Yeah. It should encourage a spectacle, as you say.
Team Europe in the house, so they arrived at Bethpage on Monday.
Yep. Yeah, a little recce.
Yes, they're not staying there all week, but clearly they're there for a couple of days just to familiarise themselves with the course, the conditions, and the team room and whatever they need to be doing. They'll disappear for a few days, and I take it they'll congregate on Sunday, next Sunday.
Yep, you'd have thought so.
Right. We've got, Paul, the Open de France. FedEx sponsored.
It is, yeah.
Not, though, from Le Golf National, which is having a revamp at the moment, I read. So a new venue.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, they're doing some work in Paris in general, and the regular venue for this is taking a back seat for the season. Yeah, and they're doing some quite extensive work on the Golf National, so it'd be interesting to see what that entails when we hopefully get to see it next year on the schedule. But we'll come to the course in a second. Open to France, one of golf's oldest national opens, as it stands. It takes centre stage, of course, because there's no PGA Tour this week, is there, with the Ryder Cup break. And all of the Team Europe players, as we said, were off on their recce to Bethpage Black. So most of the big names that we had from last week have pretty much departed from the betting. It does leave a few players who were in attendance last week. Harry Hall is the current favourite at a best price, 11-1. Corey Connors is staying on at 12-1 after his miscut last week. Minwoo Lee, Jordan Smith, 22s. Adrien Sadier, 25-1. Been very popular, Sadier. We'll chat about him a little bit when we get to the picks and see what you boys think. Christopher Rattan, 28-1. Angel Ayora, 30-1, 33-1 by those players. So not the worst of DP World Tour fields. There's still a few bigger names in there, but certainly not the kind of field that we were graced with last week. That's not stopped the bookies, as it happens. Boyle Sports have still gone 10 places each way. A fifth of the odds are standard this week. And, of course, Bet365 and Betfred both have their eight-place options. Coral and Ladbrokes, 7 places and a fifth this week. And some strong prices from Coral and Ladbrokes. So do shop around. Do take a look at the different options there, because there are plenty of ways to play this week from a betting perspective. As Steve alluded to, we've got a new venue to contend with this week. This has been hosted at Le Golf National, Paris National, since 2002, but not this year. And certainly worth noting if you're using the stats on the site, the combi stats or the event stats. So those all pertain to Le Golf National. And, of course, we're at an alternative venue, which is Golf de Saint-Nom-le-Bretèche.
Well done, Paul.
My finest GCSE French.
Well done, mate.
Which I won't say it again. Which is, like Le Golf National, is also on the outskirts of Paris. There's 36 holes on the estate. For the tournament, they'll play a composite of the two courses here. So it's listed on the DP World Tour website as playing 6,977 yards and as a par 71. So pretty short by modern standards. It's a classical tree-lined kind of parkland affair designed by Fred Hawtrey, originally opened around about 1959, 1960, so that kind of time. There are three sub-550-yard par fives, so three pretty reachable par fives for most of the field, you'd imagine. Four sub-400-yard par fours as well, so some very attackable holes for the modern golfer. This did host the Open de France back in 1965 and 1969. Slightly more relevance to us this week, it did also host the Trophée Lancôme up to 2003. So there's the odd player who was around back then who's playing this week, but certainly not many. It is a typical parkland affair, strategic bunkering, water in play on a few of the holes. From what I can see and from what I can glean, it looks like the real challenge appears to be on and around the greens. The greens are quite slopey, the greens are quite fast apparently. So they have to be quite picky as to where they can put the pin positions, otherwise it makes it too extreme. So it will be interesting to see how they set this up, because I suspect that they can manipulate par pretty much based on how they position the pins on this. So we'll see how to manipulate scoring, at least. So they can, it'll be interesting to see how they set it up. I don't think the weather's going to be an issue. It looks like it's going to be warm and sunny for the first couple of days, maybe a little cooler by Sunday. Friday looks like it could be getting up towards kind of 30 Fahrenheit, maybe down to the low 20s by Sunday. We may get the odd shower over the weekend as well, but I'm seeing light winds throughout, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Should be the green light for scoring. As I say, notwithstanding what the organisers choose to do with the pin positions this week. The only stats that we've got do come from that 2003 event, and they are particularly patchy. So don't read a massive amount into it, but from what you can gather, Retief Goosen won here that year. He was 18 under par. He was fourth in the field for total putts. So that gives you a view as to how patchy the stats are, because that's the only putting stat that was there. Paul McGinley was second. He was four shots behind Goosen. He ranked sixth for accuracy and first for greens in regulation. So completely different MO for McGinley versus Goosen. Goosen, of course, we know is a fantastic putter anyway. Just for context, Nicholas Coulthard was in fifth and he shot 11 under for the par fives from the 12 looks at par five. So very different ways to skin this particular cat. So I suspect we may see lots of different types of players in the mix. It could suit many sorts of players, I guess. If I was to pick one particular angle, it'd probably be approach and greens and regulation. Strokes gained approach would probably feel like the most important aspect. It feels like a second shot course to me, to a large degree. So finding the greens, finding the right parts of greens probably is going to be pretty important. But we'll see. For all intents and purposes, it's a new course. So it renders a lot of the stats, the history, the form stats, the event history stats, all of that to the dustbin this week. So, yeah, I'm not sure there's a great deal more that we can or should touch on. We're just going to have to see how it actually pans out. What I will say is this event hasn't overly favoured the favourites over the last few years in particular. The last four winners, Nicholas Coulthard's 100-1, Guido Migliozzi 80-1, Ryo Hizetsune 100-1, and then last year was Dan Bradbury at 175. So four pretty tasty prizes. So perhaps we'll see a continuation of that. We shall see. I've pretty much left the top of the market alone. I must say I couldn't, there was just no joy, no juice for me in the likes of a Harry Hall or a Corey Connors at a little over 10-1. The biggest question for me was whether to back Adrien Sadier. And I did mull it over for quite a bit because, of course, he won the Italian Open. He's coming into this in great form. Certainly been in the mix in the last three. And, you know, he's been 36 and then 54 and then 72-hole leader last week. Couldn't be separated from Noren until extra time. So in a great shape. I wonder how much that will have taken out of him last week. That's the question for me. I've not backed him. I'll just, before I go into my picks, because my first one's 45s, I'll just ask you chaps if either of you has backed Adrien Sadier or if you have anything in the kind of 40-1 or lower bracket before I start. Let's go with you, Barry, first. Any love for Sadier or any shorties for you?
No. I'm kind of half lost at the moment, but also trying to just, because we don't have a course history, really, okay, or an effective recent one, I'm trying to think and feel what could be similar to this. And just wondering, did you see or consider the Soudal Open at Rinkeven in Belgium? So it feels like that tree-lined, kind of a little bit short, quirky. I was just trying to think for a comparative course.
Yeah, Soudal. I think the Kenya courses are a good comp. I think the Italian course they played this year is a good comp as well.
Yep.
There's, anything, those kind of 6,900, 7,000 yard courses that demand a different style of play. You know, there'll be holes there that can be overpowered. There'll be eagles and birdies by the big hitters on the short fours and the fives. But overall, it brings some of the other players, some of the shorter players into the mix with their wedge games. So I think you, I think they're well worth a look at those kind of events, Barry, definitely. Is it someone at the Soudal you fancy then?
Yeah, I'm trying to do that. So I need to use ChatGPT to get the last few years of the Soudal and kind of just give me a player rating based on those. But just looking at the top 15 of each, it's hard to find a bit of consistency. So I'm kind of at a loss at the moment, Paul.
Let's go to Steve then. What about you, Steve?
I'll help you out, Barry. I've got a guy here that was fourth at the Soudal Open this year, and he was second in Kenya. Now, I tipped him up a few weeks ago at the Irish Open, finished 29th. He's playing some great golf from tee to green. I mean, I had the beauty this week of not having a PGA Tour event, so I was just kicking back and drinking margaritas on a Monday morning. I noticed that John Parry was third for strokes gained tee to green over the 36 holes that he did play. To put that into context, he was better than Fitzpatrick, who was fourth, and he was just a snidge below Adrien Sadier, who made the playoff. But, of course, he lost 3.5 strokes on the greens per round. So I'm going with John Parry. I just think short course accuracy, all about approach. Big week this week. He'll be playing PGA Tour, and that'd be a huge story for next year. Well, huge story amongst us golf nutcases. who don't fantasize over Rory 24 hours a day and look a level below. John Parry making the PGA Tour at his age and what he's gone through would be a superb story. A bit like Matteo Manassero was this year. Mm. But yeah, John Parry for me. So I got 40-1 with Bet365 when the prices came out on Monday. 8-place Siegeway.
Yeah, I can see the logic for Parry. I've gone just a little bit deeper than that. As I say, I haven't backed Sadio as a Frenchman, but I've gone for one of his compatriots, and that is Martin Kuvre at 45-1. And there's still a little bit of 45s out there if you fancy him. One in Turkey back in May, and that followed top five finishes in Bahrain, Qatar, and also the Hainan Classic. He was second to Sadio at that Italian Open that I just mentioned at the end of June. And as I say, I think that's another short Parkland affair. That's a fair comp course for this week, I think. A little bit off the boil since, but much better last week. 13th at Wentworth. That was his debut last week in Surrey. And his long game stats were much, much better. 9th for the season for strokes gained approach. So that ticked that box. Perfect for this, I think. And he's the kind of player, one of those players that I think just needs a little bit of focus for the next few weeks. He's 10th on the race to Dubai, in possession of the 8th of 10 PGA Tour cards as it stands. But I don't think he can rest on his laurels. I think he could do with another big finish or two, and he will be playing PGA Tour golf next year. And like Marco Penge, he'll be an interesting one to watch on some of the PGA Tour courses when he gets a start next year, should he make it. I'm sure he will. I'm pretty sure he will. Changing venue this year is pretty much a leveller for most of the younger players, at least, or the less experienced. And, whilst it's a big thing to win a National Open, I get that. He played here back in 2022 as a teenager, and he was the French Open at the Golf National in 2022 as a teenager. He was 4th after day one, so it didn't faze him then. 3 years down the line, a winner now on tour. I think Kuvre could be the darling of the French crowd this week. Slightly longer, I've also backed Ewan Ferguson, 55-1. I backed him. There's still some 55s out there right now, but he has been quite popular. He's the type of player who finds form in these kind of short, sharp bursts, one of the more streaky types. Second in the Sudal Open early this year, 4th at the KLM. So two strong finishes and then kind of off the boil a little bit since that. Bounced back to form last week, tied for 5th. Strokes gained positive in every category. Inside the top 50 in the race to Dubai now after that effort last week. So perhaps he's the Sudal Open player that you're looking for, Barry, Ewan Ferguson, after his performance this year. Three times a winner on the tour. The last two have been at 12 and 18 under. I think that's pretty perfect for this. I get the feeling this is going to be a kind of mid-teens, under par winning score this week. Maybe edging up towards 18, 19, something like that. We'll see. He led into Sunday in 2023 in this event at the Golf National, derailed on the Sunday, but he's a winner since. Closed with a 67 last week. Played really nicely last week at Wentworth. So in this, what is lower grade compared to a week ago, he should be coming into this in confident fashion, I'd imagine. So yeah, Ferguson for me. I've got two more. I'll do the next one, and then I've got one really long one, so I'll bring you boys in after that. Next one I backed is Guido Migliozzi, 80-1 with the extra places. There's still a little bit of 90s out there with standard each way terms. Guido's been popular in the betting. I can see why as well. 4 times a winner at this level over the years. One of them in this event, that was at Le Golf National back in 2022. He closed that year with, you'll remember, that sublime round of 62 on what is a pretty exacting course over there at the Golf National. Won the KLM Open last year, carrying our money that week, of course. That was on a course that was new to pretty much most of the field that week as well. So doesn't feel overawed coming into what is a new test for most of the players. Won the Kenya Open, again, a correlation there, I think. won the Belgian knockout. Both of them hold, or both of those tracks hold some correlation to this venue, I think. Pretty poor season so far, but much better of late. 13th at Crans, 24th last week at Wentworth. The real eye-catching stat for Guido that I've latched onto, and I'm sure plenty of other punters have as well, is that he led the field for strokes gained approach last week. When Guido is knocking the flags out, you need to take notice. And at, well, 80 to 1, there's a little bit longer out there. I think he's well worth backing this week. Now, my last one's much longer, so let's bring you boys back in. What's the AI say, Barry? Have you picked any out?
It's being dumb. It's kind of annoying. You know, sometimes it like spits out exactly what you want, and then you're like, you know, be smarter. Here's the last 4 years of the Sudal Open. Go in and dig into that for me. And now it's lost its network connection. So AI says no.
Fair enough. What about you, Steve? You got any other longer prices?
You're going to hate this.
Go on.
I think we're on the winner. I think the Italian Stallions bring home the bacon this week, mate.
Cracking price.
I'm on Greedo. Well, it all stacks up, doesn't it? Like you said, bigger prices win this. And it's crazy what he's done when you look at his record. Magical Kenya Open, tick, 2019. Then goes to Belgium a couple of months later, tick, 2019. That was a tight tree line, very short affair.
Yeah.
Then, of course, he won this in 22 at Le Golf National. 21, he was a playoff loser at the Belfry. And so he's won in Belgium, France, and the Netherlands. Three of his four European tour. And, you know, he's a winner. And he's literally, his tee to green numbers are just getting better and better recently. So, yeah, he was the one that stood out to me at that price point.
Yeah, I expected him to be a bit shorter. And to lead the field at Wentworth for strokes gained approach has got to be a big tick for any player. But you combine that with a player like Guido, who you know can turn it on and he can beat up a player at a field like this. Then
I did follow him for a hole at Wentworth. And when I've seen him in the past, he's looked like death warmed up. He's literally, he'd rather be anywhere else on the planet. But he looked a lot more positive just in his body language and everything I saw. So, yeah, he's been gravitating on leaderboards. You've seen a lot more of him over the last month or so, and I think this could be the perfect time. So, yeah, I think he's a great bet this week. And I still think players like him take things. They see that like an Alex Noren coming back and starting to win again. It's like, well, if they're going to, I can start winning again.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, that's pretty much the logic for my final pick as well, because the other guy I've backed is Pablo Larrathabel.
Wasn't he T2 at Wentworth after 36 holes?
He was top five, yeah. He was right in the mix. So you're still getting 200 to one out there on Pablo. I backed him at 190s with eight places each way, but there's plenty of options out there. And you're getting a really juicy price about a player who, as you say, was in the mix, certainly for the first 36 holes last week. Nine times a winner on the tour, four times in the last 3 years. So, you know, if there's correlations to Alex Noren as a player who can, you know, in his 40s still come and win DP World Tour events with relative ease, then Pablo's that kind of player. Should have won in Bahrain, you remember, earlier in the season. He three-putted the last hole and lost in the playoff eventually there. So it's not as if he's been completely off the off the boil. He hasn't been great. He had the birth of his son, Tiago, about a year ago in April, I think it was. So I guess golf's taken a little bit of a back seat. But you know, he seems to be focused again. He was 10th in India and much better at Wentworth last week, as I say. Really talking positively about his game in interview as well, what he's been working on. He's employed a sports psychologist as well. He wants that 10th title, and I think he's still well capable of it, particularly on shorter courses like this. So I thought, as a long shot each way chance, Pablo Larrazabal was a great price this week. So yeah, that completes my team. Larrazabal, Migliozzi, Ewan Ferguson and Martin Kouvre for me.
I'm cranking. The AI is back. We have it. So it's go for Nacho Elvira.
Nacho Elvira.
So it's ranked. It took the last 4 years. So and giving me like average round score, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so we have Nacho Elvira, Lang Gask, Jordan Smith, Dan Torp, Torbjörn Olsson, Alexander Bjork, Matthew Southgate, Matthew Jordan, Joe Dean, Ewan Ferguson is there, Darius van Driel, Raitan. So this is not accounting for the field this year. I was getting we needed to get to this stage first, but it's started to get its stuff to its act together.
Well, Nacho's interesting because from a short course perspective, I see why the fit would be there. 300 to one, you're getting standard prices. So I'm guessing 250s with eight places if you dig into some of the markets there. So that is potentially a play, I guess. Darius van Driel's interesting, the name as a name that he's brought up, because he was one of the ones that I was kind of toying with for my final selection there. I went with Pablo in the end, but he has been popular in the market, Darius van Driel. So again, there's some correlation there.
I thought I saw something in his game a few weeks back, I remember, and I was like, he could go all right. Like, he just sailed away to a miscut.
See, maybe the problem is, Barry.
The stats are flattering.
The problem is, Barry, if ChatGPT starts pulling out winners at obscene prices, then we're all done for. What will we talk about? We'll just...
We could actually talk about golf. I don't know. It'd be great. We'll have more. We could talk about it from new luxurious surroundings because we'll be so swimming in cash. So, yeah.
So rich, yeah. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Interesting to see how those names fare, Barry. Take a note of those and we'll do a post-mortem on it next week.
Yeah.
Any others from you, Stephen?
I'm going to follow. I've literally cranked open my Betfred account. And I'm taking the 175 to 1. I know I shouldn't. I should be backing Darius van Driel, but I'm actually following you in 50p each way on Pablo Larrazabal. I know it's a road to ruin.
Push the boat out, Steve.
But yeah, you got to say 67, 67, 68 for three rounds around Wentworth was decent. It's just a shame about the 76 in on Saturday, but. You know, he joined Justin Rose on that boat, but he's playing better stuff, isn't he?
He is playing better stuff, and yeah, I picked a couple of the quotes out from him in my preview. But
you do love him, about,
yeah. Well, look, he's one of my favourites, and I do.
He's your man crush, isn't he?
He's one of those players that I watch out for any kind of spark. You know, him and Joost Luiten and
Alexander Levy,
Matt Every.
Matt Wallace,
yeah. Interesting. He was talking about, you know, going out there and executing the shots that he's playing on the range and being really enthused with that. And, you know, some of the shots, as he described, as requiring 10 out of 10, and he's in his mind, he's hitting them 10 out of 10. He's absolutely flushing the shots the way that he wants to, you know, hitting the ball the way he wants to hit it. So, yeah, I'm interested to see how he can go. I wouldn't be surprised to see him in the mix.
Should be an interesting week's golf in the French capital.
Indeed.
Talking of capital cities, Paul, me and you are off to the Oval tomorrow, aren't we, to watch a bit of Surrey-Nottinghamshire?
We are. Hopefully they don't conclude today with a...
I don't think so.
No, seems
it's two very good teams. Yeah. I don't know if Harry in Wimbledon might be there. So, Harry, if you're there, we will be at the Oval.
Yeah,
Paul and I will be taking in the county championship decider. So, if we could bump into Harry, that'd be wonderful. If anyone else is going to the Oval, there should be a good crowd there. Paul and I will be there on Wednesday. Right, I wish you good luck with your bets, chaps.
Yeah, best luck, boys.
You too, boys.
Good luck to listeners. We'll be back next week for our Ryder Cup podcast. See you again next week. Goodbye.
If you like betting on golf, but everyone that you back misses the cut, get some experts involved with all the stats and the tips and so much more. 'Cause it's the golf betting system. The golf betting system is the golf betting system.